The captain himself greets us and holds a hand up to help me step down onto the deck.
Welcome to the Brazo, Miss Flores. I'm Captain Theodorides. You can call me Theo.
He's a clean-cut man with deep lines beside his eyes, which are such a pale shade of blue they seem bleached by the sun. His skin has likewise seen too much sun as well, looking like rough, tanned leather. But his hand is gentle, though calloused, and the tattoos on both his forearms are so old they've gone soft at the edges. One looks like an anchor, the other a faded pinup girl.
Theo's been with me since I was a kid,
Drake says.
He's like family. You can trust him to take care of us.
Ben climbs down and reaches out to take the bags Duffy is unloading, but Drake moves to grab them instead.
Theo will give you a tour, show you all the security measures in place here. If you need to make any changes, be my guest. I'll get L settled, and you can meet us in the dining room later for dinner.
That seems to mollify Ben, and he follows Theo off, disappearing up a narrow set of steps to the bridge deck above us. Do I get a tour, too?
It would be my pleasure,
Drake says in an indulgently sexy tone. When he looks at me and smiles, my insides turn molten, but then he looks away, clearing his throat as if what he just said was overly suggestive and inappropriate. My cheeks heat, remembering that he did see me mostly naked just a couple hours ago. I owe you an apology, I blurt. When he frowns, I continue. It was a dumb stunt. I honestly believed I was screwing with the twins, but I shouldn't have done it anyway. Not in your apartment. I mean, you're my boss. I probably put you in a bad position. He exhales a slow breath as he regards me, and his serious expression causes knots to tighten in my belly.
L, I don't think anything you do could change my opinion of you. What happened was more my fault than anything. The cameras shouldn't even have been there. It put you in danger, which is the last thing I want.
But the striptease, and you're my boss. His lips twitch as if he's trying not to smile. Then he shakes his head and sighs.
What you do in your own room is none of my business. I only saw because I...
He winces. Then, in a careful, measured tone, he adds,
I may have a bit of a compulsion to watch you, and not in the sense of a caretaker either. I've tried limiting it to observing your work, never observing you directly. I didn't expect to see what I did, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it. But you're absolutely right. I shouldn't have been spying on you. That was the only mistake anyone made today. I'm the one who owes you an apology.
I'm dumbfounded by this turn of events and shake my head. I think you made up for it. I gesture at the helicopter beside us. You didn't hesitate to take me away when you believed there was a threat. But I'm not really the one in danger, am I? Any humor that might have flickered across his face is gone now. His jaw clenches and he shifts the strap of my bag on his shoulder, tightening his grip on the other suitcases he still holds in each hand. Then he turns and says,
Let's get you settled. We can talk more later if you want.
Nice deflection, I mutter, earning myself an arch look as he turns away, but I'm too baffled by what he shared to poke further. He clearly didn't install the cameras, but did he just confess to being compelled to watch me? Mulling that over, I follow him down a short flight of steps off the helipad. The wind picks up as Duffy starts up the rotors in preparation to head back to San Diego, and we duck inside the opulent quietude of a luxurious living space with views on three sides. I thought I was impressed by the decor inside his penthouse, but I'm stunned at the attention to detail in here. This is gorgeous, I say, sliding my hand along the cushions of an off-white leather sofa as he leads me farther in. The yacht's interior is all natural wood and textured stone in a range of comforting neutrals.